From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Hello, Phoenix and beyond. Welcome to another episode of the Gay PHX Podcast, community radio on demand, built by us for all of us. If you're new here, I'm Billy Foster, one of the voices behind the rainbow-tinted microphone. And if you're returning, welcome home. This is where we lift each other up, share our stories, and remind ourselves that queer joy, chosen family, and community connection is always worth celebrating. Because this isn't just a podcast, it's your podcast, and your voice belongs here. And we want to start with a reminder. Be careful of who you trust online, especially when what they're saying is designed to divide. We've seen it. A clip, a story, a post flies on your feed, and suddenly everyone's arguing about it. But sometimes that story isn't even real. The loudest voices aren't always the truest. And when we fall for fake outrage, we end up more fractured, more isolated, and more vulnerable. And that's why we created this space, to amplify what's real, to choose community over chaos. To remind each other that the strongest thing we can do is stay connected. And speaking of connection, we just got back from Palm Springs, where we were honored to celebrate our dear friend Charlie, who turned 70 and retired as Cathedral City's city manager. Charlie's given so much to the community over the years, it felt right showing up and saying thank you to celebrate that legacy, to remind it that one person really can make a difference. And big love to Jeff and Michael, who graciously hosted us again. You two make our times in Palm Springs possible, joyful, and we can't thank you enough for giving us a home base, not just for this weekend, but for the next few coming up. Now, we didn't get to see everyone we hoped to, but don't worry, we'll be back at Palm Springs in October. Back here in Phoenix, though, we missed some events too, including Fur Trade, which was a real bummer, and huge thanks to our boy Ricky, who captured the night in photos and gave us the recap. He said the vibe was incredible, and he made a few new pup friends too, which always makes us happy. That's what these events are really about. Connection, joy, and discovering the friendship you didn't know you needed. And before we left Palm Springs, I had one of those moments that made me cackle to myself. There I was, bent over in the club Fly 41, and suddenly it hit me. I'm doing downward dog, and I'm holding it. I could just hear Forrest in my head, yoga makes you a better bottom. Turns out, he's right. So after Brian gives us a week of the Hot 3 events, we'll be joined by our friend, teacher, and inspiration, Forrest the Naked Yogi, for a chat about healing, humor, and why we all need a little more naked moments in our life.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast, where community comes first.
Hey, hey, Gay PHXers, it's your glitter-fueled nightlife navigator, Brian, sliding into your ears with another Brian's Hot 3, your spicy, sparkly, and sometimes shirtless guide to what's going down in Phoenix this week. We're talking villains, divas, and a poolside competition that's soaked in sequins and sass. So grab your drinks, snatch your fans, and let's dive in. Brian's hot pick number one, Villainous Game Night. At Ozbar, Wednesday, September 25th, 8 to close. It's game night, and we're going full Disney villain mode. Join us at Ozbar for a night of plotting, scheming, and sipping with Villainous, the board game where you get to channel your inner Ursula or Maleficent while enjoying $2 off well and domestics. New to the game? No worries. Evil never needed instructions. $5 entry, bar matches the pot, so win or lose, it's wicked fun. Every second and fourth Wednesday. Then we have the hot pick number two, Black Parade, Emo Night Returns. Stacy's, Thursday, September 26th from 9 to 11. Scream it loud and smudge that eyeliner. Black Parade is back, babes, hosted by the fabulous Foxy Faye. This emo night serves angst, attitude, and all your 2006 feels. Every fourth Thursday, come emotionally prepared. Featuring guest DJ Black Jesus, bringing the bangers, the breakdowns, and the heartbreak. Whether you're moshing, crying on the dance floor, or just reliving your MySpace era, this night hits different. Every fourth Thursday, come emotionally prepared. Then we come on to hot pick number three. Miss and Mr. My Pool Boys 2026 Bubble Bash Prelim. Pat O's Bunkhouse, it's going to be on Friday, September 27th from 6 to 11. Sudsy, sexy, and soaked in competition. Bubble Bath is back for a second year. Join us for the official Phoenix Pride prelim, crowning the next Miss and Mr. My Pool Boys, honoring last year's champs, Sayora Demorey and Frankie Demorey. Get ready for water, wigs, and wooing the judges in this unforgettable night of wet drag excellence. Interpreted for the deaf and hard of the hearing, applications are now open. And that's your Brian's Hot 3 for the week, babes. As always, these are just the highlights. For more events, photos, and queer chaos, head to gaypxx.com and scroll the glittery goods for yourself. And hey, if you love what you're doing, help us keep slaying. Share the podcast, tag your crew, text that ex you still kind of like. Let them know this isn't just a podcast, it's a party in your ears, and your voice belongs here. We don't have a transmitter, we don't have a broadcast tower humming in the desert, but we do have you. So keep listening, keep showing up, and keep being the reason Phoenix keeps shining. Coming to you from the rainbow-tinted mic, I'm Brian, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Phoenix, are you ready to scream? Grit is back, and this time, the pool is gone dark. The Scream Pool Party, where sexy meets spooky. Hauntings await around every corner. It's dark, it's sexy, it's a blast, and you've got 5 shots to experience it before it vanishes into the night. Dive in, Phoenix. Tickets at gaypxx.com. Scream with us at Grit.
This is what community sounds like.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about DoxyPep. Are you hooking up, living your best life? Keep it hot and healthy with DoxyPep, a little pill that helps protect you against STIs after sex. DoxyPep. Doxy is short for doxycycline, and PEP is an abbreviation of post-exposure prophylaxis, meaning taking a pill after sex. You've probably heard of PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. That's taking meds before being exposed to HIV. But DoxyPep goes like this. Take one doxycycline dose soon after sex, for sure within 72 hours. This helps prevent bacterial infections such as syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. If doxycycline sounds familiar to you, yes, it also treats STDs. Ask your provider if DoxyPep is right for you. And if your provider doesn't know about DoxyPep, inform them. Or find a provider that meets your full sexual health needs. Live your best life with DoxyPep.
Calling all queer cowboys, yeehaw! Saddle up to All Queer Shakespeare, the world's first LGBTQIA+ theater space. For 6 rounds of vengeance. A Wild West queer fight show with gunslinging, adventure, romance, and revenge. Tickets at allqueershakespeare.com.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
On today's episode, you're about to meet someone who embodies transformation, courage, and radical self-acceptance. Once weighed down by old habits and limitations, they discovered a path of breath, movement, and freedom that reshaped not just their body, but their entire outlook on life. Their classes break down barriers, proving that yoga isn't just about perfection. It's about presence, play, and being fully unapologetically yourself. Now, they've created a space where vulnerability becomes strength and every body is celebrated. Now, they're bringing that spirit right here. Please join me in
re-welcoming to the rainbow-tinted microphone forest, the Naked Yogi. Ah, Forrest. Thanks for joining me.
I'm glad to be here, Billy.
So now you and I, we go like way back from before you were a yogi. So take us back to that first spark and what drew you to the mat and how did that take you on this path?
Gosh, it's almost like I need to go on social media usually for years back then and dig up old pictures of things like Fur Fest that we used to do here in Phoenix. That's not been operating at, since the pandemic, I think. But
it's going to be making a comeback. Back then,
yeah, I did hear that.
Yes.
But I see pictures from back then of me sitting on the pool steps and I'm like, who is that guy? I don't recognize myself because I think at one point I was up to 330 pounds.
Wow.
But yeah, and I know no judgment, and I've always been okay with being myself in my own body and being comfortable with it, but I was not.
And you are a tall guy too, so 300 pounds.
Yes, yes. And it was starting to really, I had stopped smoking, and I think that's what really ramped up the weight gain. Obviously, I did one good thing, but then another bad thing happened. Made a New Year's resolution one year, my husband, Jim, and I, to get up off the couch and start going to the gym. And that's a lot to form a habit.
Right.
It takes a lot to form a habit, and we did it. We finally did. It was just sometimes just getting up off the couch was the challenge, but we did it. We started losing weight, and I had gotten down to about 260 pounds, and I was feeling a lot better, but I was also plateauing. I knew I had a lot more to go before I was at a decent place with my body weight, and I was like, okay, going about 2 months here and then 3 months. And I'm like, why am I not continuing to lose? And someone said, listen, nothing changes if nothing changes. And I'm like, oh, okay. You're right. Nothing changes if nothing changes. So that meant I had to change something that I was doing. So I thought, okay, I can keep going to the gym and doing those same things I do every time I go to the gym or change up the day or whatever, but it's all still the same thing. So somebody said, hey, you need to try this Naked Yoga. You're really going to like it. All right, fine. I'm a proponent, always a proponent of getting naked. So I thought, hey, listen, I'm going to go try this up. So then it took me a couple of weeks to stir up the courage to go to the yoga class. And I felt so comfortable and so free and so liberated. And I was like, I didn't know I could feel this way. And then I really started to get into it. I really started to gravitate towards that. I still would go to the gym, but I would mix it up and I started to lose more weight. So I had a few good teachers that within about a year and a half were like, you're one of those people that we don't know what to do with. And I was like, oh, great. I've heard that before as a kid or whatever. Go talk to a special lady in a room in color while they ask you questions.
You don't fit into our mold. So we don't know what to do with you.
Exactly.
Keep yourself occupied.
I said, and this is where I'm going with this, is where these teachers came to me and they're like, there's not much more. You're doing really well in your practice. And what they said, we don't know what to do with you, meant we need you to go to this school in Scottsdale. And we need you to become one of us because you're already on the path. You're tuned in, dialed up. You were born for this. I was like, okay. I did. I discovered I really did like it. I got my certificate within a year. I continued to practice with three different Ashtanga teachers over the course of several years. So now I have a very strong Ashtanga practice. And I'm hopefully looking forward to going to India next year and not delaying that too much longer so I can advance that bit along. But what happened was I ended up with some really good pundits in my life. And I've been able to actually manifest this as my like job right now. I'm finally doing what I love. So there you go. That was my journey though. I just was trying to lose some weight, be healthier and not smoke cigarettes.
But then you discovered something else and it became a whole transformation.
Absolutely.
And how does it help you now, like mentally and emotionally where you're at compared to where you were then?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mentally and emotionally. So mentally, I do a lot of meditation now. So I like to tell people, I like to go in there and turn off the music and turn off the lights and turn everything off. So there's no electronics going. And I tell my brain to shut the fuck up. And everybody should be able to do this. And I'm happy to guide people through it because it is not a switch that you flip And that's one thing that kind of keeps me clear mentally, able to handle life's challenges, able to stand here in the middle of chaos surrounding me and just breathe and control myself and not react to things. And that's, again, goes to the emotional part of that. Keeping your emotions in check, in balance, recognizing, yoga says to recognize that those are emotions and to go ahead and have them, but to recognize what they are and then move on with the past. So that's one thing that I think the yoga philosophy has definitely taught me emotionally, is that we don't dwell in the past. And that means we're shameless. We live in the present. And that means we're doubtless. And if all we're doing is looking forward to the future, then that means we're fearless.
I like that.
Absolutely. So you have to live in the moment, but you can't dwell in the past. Right. You can only anticipate the future so much,
right,
to the point of worry, right? So you just keep everything in check and you move through your day, and you just, any crisis you're at, it's like for work, just take a deep breath. It's a crisis. You'll get through it. Whatever you're going through, and just think to yourself, is this going to matter in 5 days? You won't even be thinking of it. You will have resolved the problem and it will be done. So I think about that a lot. Yeah, I've really been able to just bring a lot of my own chaos in my mind under control, think through things quickly, make sharper decisions, and just discover how to breathe. How to just stop and breathe.
See, I like that. It's funny. I feel that I do that. I'm finally at a point where I have a like work-life balance, and I feel like I'm very happy there. What drives me and gives me angst is everything out of my control that's above and out of this state with this administration.
Oh, and my love, Billy.
And it's that whole, I can't control and I can't do anything about it, so I just have to let it be. But, oh my gosh, it hurts so much.
Right. And that goes along. That goes, actually, yoga and activism is actually a thing, believe it or not. I told my husband when this administration had come back, like you mentioned, I said, I'm older now. I said, I used to go to jail in Chicago when we had protests and fight for gay rights and go have sit-ins at the city clerk's office and demand marriage licenses and
right,
stuff like that. And I would go to jail, and usually they would just let you out a few hours later and not do anything because they didn't want to fill out the paperwork. But I was right, like, you know what? I think I might have to start going to jail a little bit more. I think I might need to start speaking up. I think I might have to start forming a few more human chains. And I was like, yeah, I'm older now. And honestly, with age, I think it just is, I don't care now. Like, I'm going to speak up. And if you're doing wrong, I'm going to stop you. That's what we need to do. Right now, we're all just walking each other home, as Ram Dass might say. But I also have been ending some of my classes. Not with namaste or anything like that. I end with an om, obviously, but I've been just saying words. The last time it was fun things, like I would say om and then vote for women's rights.
Or good, to drop that message.
And lately I've changed it. It's an om, and then it's remember not to let the dystopian nightmare bullshit ruin your sparkle.
Oh my gosh. But it's so hard.
I know.
And it's so funny because it's okay. I'm ready to be an adult and take these things on. Like I said, I feel like I finally got work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And then there's this imbalance that is completely out of my control that I just have to live with.
And you do. You can speak up and you can protest and we can do all of those things. But we definitely now have to live with this. And
right.
I'm not afraid to say it. These people are difficult to live with.
They are. And it challenges us to our core on what we try to believe, to not bitch slap someone.
And absolutely, and to keep that completely under control. And we've had discussions in this house about what would you do if you were within 5 feet. And I'd be, I'd be getting shot by the Secret Service because I'd be tackling a bad tray. Like I said, you do have that. And yoga will help that. Your yoga practice at least once a day, you've taken a couple of days off during the week. It brings peace to your mind. It gives you the time to move around, to get rid of your own stagnant energy, all that stuff that you're holding on to that you don't need. Because when you're holding on to something you don't need, you're stuck in a rut and you don't know why. So yeah, yoga is important. Yoga is important to help you get through, like I said, the dystopian nightmare bullshit.
No, I agree.
We are living.
And the full disclosure, I finally made it to a naked yoga on Saturday. We do plan on trying to attend on a regular basis. September is just insane. So by October, we hope to be back on a regular schedule. But it was great for me physically, obviously, because I just had my heart attack and everything too. And thank you for making me, for creating such an inclusive environment and making sure that I could get through it without feeling bad, and you helped adjust the different poses. And I can't thank you enough for that. And so that not only helped me with my health that way, but my mental well-being.
Thank you. That's my goal. Thank you. I did my job. Yay.
Yes. And you did it quite well.
I love it.
Yes. And that's why.
Thank you.
I
completely cater to, and I don't, you've been to yoga before, but I cater to beginners, obviously, but that's what we need to do. We meet each other where we are in yoga. And if there are limitations, we have things for you to overcome them. And that was exactly what we did. And then you just totally impressed me, because I didn't even have to tell you at one point. You said, no, I'm just going to sit down for a minute. And I was like, that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
That wasn't me. That was my body saying, yeah, this is fun, but yeah, you're taking a break right now.
And they laugh at me. They laugh at me. I personify my body. I personify my body parts. And I always tell them the words I always say is, if I say something to you and your body says, no, you're not doing that, then you listen to your body. I'm just here as a guide. So I always give the example when Lululemon, she walks into the teacher class in Scottsdale and she says,
oh, is that a person?
My best new. In my mind, she's a person.
Oh, okay. Right? I'm like, I just thought it was a brand, but I have no idea.
Oh, no. She's almost the personification of my drag name, Ananda Balasana, right? So you can Google that and it's safe for work and it'll totally explain my drag name for quite obvious reasons. It's a yoga pose. It's called Happy Baby.
Oh, fun.
But yeah, totally. I totally think of Lululemon. She's out there and she's she's the inspiration for my drag name, Ananda Balasana. But she has an accent, right? So she walks into the class and she says, okay, class, put one hand on the floor and 2 feet in the air. Now I ask you, sir, what will you be doing when she comes in and tells you to do that?
Sitting.
You're not going to do that, are you? I'm probably not going to do that unless I'm warmed up. I'm a two-hand handstand kind of guy, but exactly. So that's the kind of thing I tell them. I want them to be able to go out into the world and end up at a yoga class with one of their friends in some other town or city and have something happen. And it does happen. I get people that come back. They're like, wow, I went to a yoga class and wherever they went, and they're like, how crappy. Like, I also hear about they go to some good ones out there, but what they know how to do from their beginner roots with me is they know when it's getting too hard, how to modify things, how to use their blocks and straps and their props and do that and make it easy. Yoga's not CrossFit. It's not meant to be intense or impactful, physically impactful to your body. It's meant to be strong, but it's also meant to be soft with breath and moving. And that moves your energy as well as your physical body, and that's where we're going with that.
I get it, because there's a calmness with it while you're still exercising, where if you just go to the gym, it feels like heavy metal versus,
right?
You know,
no, I'm not gonna say, hey, I might throw in a gym routine here and there right now too, and I might go do some cardio, and I might go with some weights, and
you definitely get the heart rate going.
Personal trainer. Right. So you got to get the heart rate going. So like in yoga, we do these sun salutations, and it's every inhale and every exhale is some kind of movement that's moving you up and down. And the sun salutations bring you all the way up to standing and get you all the way down to planking. And after about five of them, I can tire out these students and they're like, who needs hot yoga? You've got the room set at 76 degrees and I'm sweating.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, you don't need to crank that heat up. I can make you do this and sweat and work out and it's intense and all of that. Or I can lead you through this class and you can decide you don't want to make it that. And that's when it becomes your very own practice and you know how to make it easier and you know what to do to honor yourself. And that's always, like I said, it's always one of the most important things, listening to your own body, not necessarily me or the yoga teacher, and finding that balance within yourself. And in the yoga practice, I'll just mention one more thing. There is a term, it's called dhyana. It's D-H-D, Yan. Y-A-N-A. Trying to remember how to spell it. But it's dhyana, and it means concentration and meditation. So, like, when I take my own practice, I've had my teachers tell me within the first 10 or 15 minutes of a 90-minute practice that I'm doing, they'll just look at me, and I have already, within that time, attained, like, this weird, like, stare in my eyes where I'm muscle memorying and moving and doing the poses perfectly and doing the movements perfectly. But, yeah, it's so perfect that I'm in meditation at the same time. And I've blocked out everything. And they're like, it's so funny. We don't even want to disturb you. We don't want to adjust you. We don't, like, you just, like, zoom.
You're zoomed
like,
in.
And it's wild to watch. And I'm like, yeah, it's wild to watch. And I feel that, too. Like, when I get startled or something, or somebody comes out of it, or the cockroach runs out of the room or something. And, of course, it's a room full of Buddhists and yoga people that are, I'm going to have to go get a piece of paper and let the cockroach go out the door alive. So you break your concentration and then you have to jump right back into it. That's yoga, the chaos.
Right.
But meditation has helped me mentally. The physical helps with the emotional. It's all tied in together. And I love it so much. I really want to bring it to other people. And this is why I am patient with beginners, and I am patient with people trying to heal themselves like you.
And it's like your brand of brand naked yoga, it was perfect. When you first told me that, I was like, oh my gosh, that is forced to a T. It's like everything right there. And I don't just mean naked in the physical sense either, especially after being to a class, because it's not just the physical.
It's the mental. It's the camaraderie too. And it's the energy in the room. You're on the right workshop and all of that becomes palpable.
So Alex that was leading the class that I was at, was that Alex?
Yes, he's one of our newest teachers.
He did a phenomenal job too.
Ruiz, he actually just finally got his certificate done. He is super interested in what we're doing. He is so excited that he's got to be a part of this and that we're in the Melrose District. And he gets to run out the front door when he's done teaching and go to the Rock for a drink if he wants to. He's so full of life and energy and wants to be a part of this. And I'm so excited to have him. But what the wonderful thing that goes on is I'm still watching him do his teacher hours. And being there in the room, he can teach, but then that allows me to walk around and give adjustments and go whisper to people and say, hey, move your hand this way, or here, use this block, or make this easier by doing this. And so they're getting the teacher and they're getting my attention as well.
That personalization that was really needed in a beginner class like we were doing, because you were helping to correct me and Brian and Ricky and all of us that were like a little bit more this way or that way.
Exactly. And if I can count on him to teach and I can be in the same room, then that's great. You guys are doubled up on. So we've got Alex teaching. You've got me running around giving all these adjustments and telling you, hey, move your foot this way or your hand that way or use this prop. And last class, it was so wonderful. Everybody was so into it. And I always say when we're naked, we're all the same. And you're right about that. We're naked just besides being physically naked. We're all standing there naked. It means we're all vulnerable together. All the pretenses are lifted in that room. Everybody is the same. Everybody gets along. There's nobody's judgment. And believe me, once in all my years of teaching, did I ever have to actually ask somebody to leave for body shaming, because it is one of my core policies. You don't do it.
Right. That's why I said that everybody felt special there. And we had all shapes and sizes. That's why it was wonderful. What inspired you to launch the naked version of this? Because yoga, it seems like there's all kinds of different yoga studios, but not necessarily naked ones, at least that I'm aware of.
Not specifically naked. And actually, I found naked yoga to be a niche at the time I was doing it, right before the pandemic and then through the pandemic and up till now. The reason I chose that was, A, you know me, I'm just going to get naked.
We enjoy that. That's how we hang out.
Exactly. Who wouldn't? Let's just get naked, right? But that's the whole reason why. And I had this niche market, like I was doing something different. I didn't have a studio and I didn't really have a home, maybe except for my own during the pandemic out on the patio. Everybody 6 feet apart in the open air.
The good old days.
Maybe we wore a mask. Maybe we didn't. Who cares? But yeah, it was stuff like that I was like, okay, nobody else is doing this, so I'll do this. And I really enjoy it. And I really like that nobody else is doing this. But now that I've actually had Melrose Yoga now for a year and a half now, I am teaching clothes-on classes. I am opening that up because so many of these guys out there are not comfortable with themselves to the point where they won't come in and get naked and do this. Or I'll have to tell them, you can't wear shorts in this class because it makes the others uncomfortable when you wear clothes. And it's one of those, I don't mind an uncomfortable conversation. It's one of those. But
things I love about you, Forrest. You call the spade a spade.
Exactly. I'm pretty blunt, huh? But that's the thing is, some people can't do that. I've had probably a dozen people in the last year and a half start coming to these clothes-on classes that I'm doing like Wednesday afternoon, Saturday morning. And I do a vinyasa flow class on Monday that's clothes-on, which is more of a workout. What I'm finding is I get the guys that are coming in and attending these clothes-on classes for a few weeks or a couple of months. And then all of a sudden, they get into the other classes because, the schedule's good or whatever. And they finally decide, you know what? Maybe I'll just take my clothes off and do this and come in. And they're feeling comfortable because they know everybody there already. And yeah, once they fall into it, they're like, man, you know what? Why didn't I do this sooner? I didn't even know I was naked.
You don't think about it because you're so focused on everything else, which is the whole point.
Right.
Which is why I enjoyed it because it was letting go. Just...
Absolutely. And I got to say, I'm just going to expound on that a little bit. I have a number one question that I get weekly or sometimes daily through social media, through my website. I'll get messages from folks and these guys are like, what if I get a boner in class is basically the gist of the question. So basically what I answer them and tell them is, you're moving around a lot, so I'm going to have the blood moving to other limbs, if you will. So it's not going to last long. Plus, we celebrate boners here, and you might make some new friends and get a phone number or two.
You may get a date.
Door after class. So what if you get a boner? That's the kind of thing that's going to happen if you get a boner in class.
Right.
We're men. We're naked. We're with other men. You're going to look around a little bit. Yeah, things are going to happen. That's the gist of it, right? It's not a big deal. Nobody's going to freak out. I'm not going to point at it and go, hey, you got a boner. It's just, it is right. What it is. It happens.
This isn't grade school.
It's just like intrusive thoughts in your mind. It's the same thing. They come in, they go out. The blood comes in, the blood comes out.
So I guess that kind of answers my next question, which is what makes Melrose yoga community unique and the acceptance?
The acceptance, I think the camaraderie, and I think the locale is perfect. I didn't want a space that big. I've got almost 3,000 square feet up there. And I really needed about half of that, I think, to open a studio. But when Patrick Kelly, who owns Offshoot 2, told me that New Year's Day that the lady upstairs had given up her lease in 30 days, I thought, this is what we wanted. We wanted a community center. We wanted to be able to bring in the whole community here and we can do clothes-on classes and all this stuff. So that's what we've attained at Melrose Yoga. And it is the acceptance. There's no judgment up there. You're free to be yourself. And we just bring you in. We love you. We hug you and set you down and make you stretch.
So great. So what is your favorite teaching moment? Maybe when a student surprised you or you saw a breakthrough.
Wow, I'm going to have to think about that. You know what? I'm going to go with one that was very recent, and I might call out the person. He just moved here about a year and a half ago, and his name is Cedric, and I'll just say that. And he is a fabulous, wonderful individual. But he has been practicing what we call a pose called an upward bow. So it would be like when you have your feet on the floor and your knees are bent and you're on your back and then you bring your hands up over your shoulders and your elbows are bent and you push into your hands and feet and you push your midsection all the way to the sky and it looks like you've made this rainbow shape, right? It's a really hard pose to do and it really requires a lot of strength, especially arm strength, to push all the way into your hands, into the floor and then feel the long stretch all the way through the arms. That's the power, right? So we've been working on his power and we've been modifying it and giving him the tools and using a gymnastics wedge to get him all the way down to the floor to do this. And in the last week or so, he has been doing it. He has been doing the work. He has been huffing and puffing and sweating and getting that pose. And it's fun to watch because I watched this evolution of this guy trying this out. He's been determined to do it for 2 months and now he's just all right, I can go into it. I don't even need your help. And he just goes now. I don't even have to assist him. And
oh, wow.
That's the type of story I like to tell. And that's the type of story I do see on a regular basis. But that one was special. Another teacher that teaches, Dennis Daniels, he teaches at Melrose Yoga. He's been involved in the evolution of that pose. When he's teaching his classes, and so Cedric's going in there and learning how to do it from him. Then he comes to my class, he learns how to do it from me. And he said that the two of us offering completely different words and information actually helped him put a whole picture together, and that's how he's doing this pose now.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of community. Like, he's coming back to different people to learn the same thing. And then when Dennis and I found out that we had both been teaching him, I took Dennis's class and Cedric happened to be there. So then we ganged on Cedric. And we had him doing that pose 5 or 6 times. But you know what? He does the work and he sweated it out. And at the end, he still gives us both a hug and says, thank you. I feel like we're doing the right thing.
Gee, a Forrest and Dennis sandwich. That sounds really fun to me. Oh, sorry. Now, for someone who's listening go ahead.
There are opportunities.
For someone who's listening right now who's hesitant about yoga or feel that they don't fit in enough or they're not flexible enough, what's your advice to them at taking that first step?
I love this question. So there is no factory preset for flexibility or stretchability in your body. You may be double jointed and flexible and be able to do things like Cirque du Soleil just naturally. You may be a stiff person naturally and just need to start somewhere. And that's the key. You have to start somewhere. You're not like unqualified to do yoga because you're just not pre-flexible. Or you have to find that flexibility. You have to start somewhere. And this is where beginner yoga is so important. I don't know too many studios that even offer it out there. I never could find it. They just said, oh, go take a yoga class. What if I walk into the wrong one?
No, I understand that.
Lululemon tells me to put one hand on the floor, 2 feet in the air. I walked into the wrong class, obviously. I don't know what I'm doing. So that's why beginner yoga is so important. That's why I keep those classes going. There is no factory preset on your flexibility. You have to start somewhere, and you have to come on in, and you just have to start doing the work. And you find that over time and incrementally, over weeks or months, just depending on you, you do become more flexible and you do find more stretch in your body and you do feel better. You do walk better. Just little things that you can do to improve and evolve your own practice. And then that'll affect your mind as well. The practice of yoga and both yoga and meditation alone will do this, but the practice of the two together is amazing for your brain. On that note, yeah, definitely you have to give it a try. You just have to poke around, find the right class. And know that there are ways to do all that hard stuff without actually having it be that hard and you getting the same benefit out of the pose.
Right. I can say that as someone who's not been doing yoga and recently tried it, that there's no such thing as not flexible enough, because that's why you go to yoga. Because not saying that you're not flexible enough to do yoga is like saying I'm not built enough to go to the gym.
That's exactly right. You just hit the nail on the head right there. It is exactly right. And I've never even thought about it that way, but that's exactly right. I always tell people, no, there's no requirement. And this comes back to one of the other things we say is yoga is for every body.
And I definitely felt
it
that.
Is.
And, yeah.
And I'm not out there picking Abercrombie and Fitch models for my classes. Like, I'm taking you however you come. If you're tall and big or you're, I don't care. Like I said, there's no body shaming there. And we're all one. We're all one consciousness and we're all one community. You're welcome here.
That's so awesome.
As long as you're not a Nazi. As long as you're not a Nazi.
We punch out Nazis. We've established
yes, we
that. We punch Nazis. So when you're not teaching.
We've established that long ago, but I want to just also add in there that at Melrose Yoga, we form human chains as well.
Oh. Good. So when you're not teaching, what grounds you personally? Are there rituals, mantras, or daily practices that you lean on?
Absolutely. I definitely like Vedic chanting, and that will completely bring me out of my head and into a zone where I can process things. What grounds me personally? I am what you might describe, the term is tantrico, so tantra. But it just means I'm a practicer of tantra. And people hear tantra, especially gay tantra, and their mind immediately goes to sex. And
Right.
It's because over the years, everybody said, ooh, tantric sex, and it's, oh, it's amazing, and it's explosive or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you sat there with the person for 7 hours
right.
and edged your entire body until it was explosive. That's all that is. And a lot of these guys come in and they're like, ooh, we're going to touch ourselves. And I'm like, no, now wait, if we're jumping into 101 here, it's breathwork and goddess worship to start. It doesn't just jump into sex.
Remember, although, it's about the journey.
Absolutely. And it's about enjoying oneself in the presence of others and all this kind of stuff. I am definitely a tantric practitioner. And that means we do go out. We do have abandon. We have sex.
Right.
We definitely go out and have our fun, our bodily fun as well, but we are also very spiritual. And the chanting and all of that comes along with the yoga practice. That's what keeps us strong, grounded, breathing evenly, all of those things.
And I think you mentioned this earlier, but what's your favorite pose to teach?
My favorite pose to teach? I think probably one of my favorite poses to teach right now is a pose called, it's called Upavishta Konasana. And
that's a mouthful.
It's a lot of words, right? It's a lot of Sanskrit that, hey, everyone thinks I'm casting spells. I'm like, no, it's just Sanskrit. And usually I'm just counting. I don't have time to hex you.
That takes work and care and time.
Exactly.
I don't have that much energy.
Basically, it's where you've got your legs wide and you're sitting on the floor on your butt. You've probably given yourself a manual inner spiral and you've got everything nice and wide. And then you bring your feet up, you get a hold of your big toes and you basically lean back about 45 degrees through your spine and lift the feet off the floor. So basically you've got your legs open, you're looking up to the sun and everything is open. Your arms are open, your legs are open and you're balancing on your butt.
We did that, right?
And you hold this. We did that. I think you did experience that one.
Yes.
And you may have just tumbled backwards, right?
I didn't. No, I actually held my balance. Brian was impressed.
You actually held your balance. See? Yeah, see? So that's one of the reasons it's a hard pose, and it's definitely not something beginner per se, but it's a good pose to teach, and it's one of my favorites. Obviously, your legs are like spread wide open, and you're just like open to the whole, you know, the space, and it just, it looks that obscene, but, which we love.
Right. But, which is probably why I could hold that pose versus standing on one foot.
Exactly. Exactly. And it teaches you balance and you're on the floor. So the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to lose your balance off your own butt on the floor and you're going to tumble backward. And that's it.
Right.
So I love teaching that one. It's really safe. It's actually a hard pose. So it requires a little work, a little concentration, minding your breath. I think right now I would tell you that would be probably my favorite pose to teach.
That's definitely a fun one because I enjoyed it. Like I said, because at the worst, you're going to fall back, you roll back, and you feel like a kid all over again.
Exactly. And that's it's how it's, and for the English translation of that pose, Goli is a wide angle seated forward bend. So part of the pose is that you get your legs wide and you forward fold first. And then the second part is that you bring all of that up into the air.
Back. We need to come up with a better name marketing-wise.
I know, right?
We'll come up with something.
We're on the edge of ordering new t-shirts that say Melrose Yoga on the front and then Yoga Makes Me a Better Bottom on the back.
Well, let us know when you need the t-shirts made because we now have our t-shirt printer, so.
Oh, yes. I'm fantastic.
Yes.
I will go to you. The last ones we got, I didn't like them.
We'll take that offline and we'll definitely talk about that. All right. What is your favorite Phoenix spot where you love to recharge?
My favorite Phoenix spot where I love to recharge. Besides Melrose Yoga.
You're there like every day kind of thing. So like where do you go in Phoenix? This is like a new question
escape,
I'm starting to ask
people.
Yeah. When you need to escape, but in Phoenix.
Is in Phoenix, if I'm being completely honest, if I need to escape and I'm in Phoenix and I don't want to deal with anybody, I go to Flex.
Okay.
I can get a room at Flex and I can close the door and I can actually just be quiet in the dark for however long I want to before I go out and find something else.
Right.
But yeah, that's usually my little retreat. I very rarely run into anybody I know there either, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, it seems like it's all travelers now.
Yeah, and it's fine. I can see my friends when I go to Bunkhouse or go to Anvil or go to The Rock, any of these bars.
Right.
But yeah, that every once in a while, I'll go down and just hit Flex for a few hours and just chill out, veg, take in the heat.
Very cool. Well, they got a pool. They got a spa. They got a sauna. It's got a lot of M2.
And they've redone all that stuff. In recent years, they've redone a lot of that stuff, so it's not so gritty anymore. It's pretty nice in there.
Yeah. I call it corporate bathhouse. It's clean, so.
It is what it is.
Take it. I'll take a corporate bathhouse versus no bathhouse.
Right, there you go.
So what's a mantra or song that always gets you in the right headspace?
A mantra or song that always gets me in the right headspace. I am a huge super fan, you might say, of somebody that died a couple of years ago named Ram Dass, or Dr. Richard Alpert. And he used to hang out with people in the 60s like Ken Kesey and people taking acid, those kinds of people, hallucinogenics. But he went to India and he learned from different gurus, from somebody named Maharaji he kept going back to. Learned yoga, learned meditation, learned these things very much spiritually in depth. And of course, through psilocybin and different trips on acid, opened doors and was able to come up with some very profound ways of living. And one of his mantras, the one that always sticks to me, the one that I always fall back on, is says, I am loving awareness. So you can just say it right in English and you can say it over and over to yourself. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. And when you do that, the more and more you do that particular mantra really starts to vibrate. You start to vibrate with that one. And then you start to go outward, which is a good thing. You open up, you go outward, you go out from your heart, which also then leaves you open to receive. I almost feel like that particular mantra puts me into a bit of a higher state when I use that one.
Very cool. And for people that are inspired by your story today, how can they follow you, find you, or join you for one of your classes online or at Melrose Yoga?
Oh, I was going to say, so I keep my class schedule separate because of the Naked Yoga from Melrose Yoga. So that's Bear, like GER, B-E-A-R, nakedyogi.com/classes. And you do have to sign in as a member to go in. I've got to keep information protected, keep the spammers out.
Mm-hmm.
I have a $25 class fee for drop-ins if you ever wanted to try out a class. You can sign up online ahead of time, or when you come in, we can just sign you up right then and there. We take all kinds of payments, so you can tap pay, you can Venmo, you can Zelle, you can pay cash. I have a $99 recurring monthly membership that will give you unlimited access to all of my classes all of the time. So if you attend for a month, it's already paid for itself. So that's one a week, and you can just get yourself into yoga. And then you can cancel that at any time once you've tried it out, say you don't like it. Most people are keeping them and they come back regularly. On social media, it's the same, Bare Naked Yogi. You can put the little @ in front of it. I'm on Blue Sky. I got rid of Twitter in 2024.
Woohoo!
And I am a better person for it. I know it. I know it was your porno toilet dump and you liked it, but there's
actually
a new one now called Blue Sky.
I have Twitter. I have a Twitter account only to reserve my name, but I don't actually used it back in my radio days. But since I left radio, I've not touched it. I've not touched that. I sold my Tesla stock at the same price that I bought it at. I don't do Tesla walls. I don't do Tesla chargers. I have an electric car. It is not a Tesla.
Sorry. I know, right?
I feel like I always have to send those disclaimers out there.
And I absolutely love it. So I also teach private sessions or private instruction sessions. And a lot of people prefer to do that even once or twice before they go to a class. They feel nervous like anyone. And you just described, I've got a way of just walking in and I'm naked and then I get friendly, right? I walk right up to you and I hug you and I introduce myself and let you know that, you know, you're safe and loved. Come here, sit down. And people just look at me like, what the fuck, dude? You just come up and hug everybody. Like,
but we need more of that. And that's exactly what we need more of, though. That should be what should be normalized now.
You know what? I believe that too. You need to normalize that with your friends all the time. And that's why I say, so a lot of them are still too nervous to do that. They don't want to walk into that setting yet. So they'll actually say, but I really want to do this. And I'm like, okay, so get a private session. And I normally do charge $100 as a 75-minute session, but it really will focus on you because you're the only one there,
right?
Besides me.
Yeah.
And the class is then, okay, so what are your limitations? What are your injuries? What are you recovering from? Did you recently have a surgery? Sometimes they come to me and it's like this whole, oh, yeah, I left my partner of X amount of years and I'm transforming myself. I hear all those stories. And the people that want to get into yoga that come to me on a private basis really do benefit. I really do identify, okay, do this, not that. Let's go a little easier on that foot because you've had that injury or there's a pin in your ankle. Let's pay attention. But I'm also, with me being able to focus all of my attention and energy on you for 75 minutes, I really do get close up. I really do put you into the poses. I move your limbs where they need to be so that you can feel what it's supposed to be like. And then ensure that you are feeling the stretch. You are feeling the pose. And then, of course, we do a little extra meditation. And I give them the option. I am the naked yogi. We can do this naked. Or if they're still not comfortable, hey, keep the clothes on.
Right.
But either way, the most important thing is that you do yoga and that you get in and try it out and feel better.
I am certainly a believer. And like I said, we will be coming regularly once I can get the schedule not so crazy.
Fantastic. I get it. My schedule's a little nuts right now, too. So...
I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing this tonight and for sharing your story and for helping. It has helped me tremendously. That's why I was rushing to get you back on here. I was anxious to do this. And I can't thank you enough for the personalization that you've given me. And I'm very excited to continue to learn and grow. I'm very excited about this, more so excited than I ever have been about. I've always been interested in yoga, but I'm like, eh. I was that whole thing, oh, I can't bend. But then, like I said, logically, that doesn't make any sense. Of course you can't. That's why you do it.
When I was in my 20s, I actually had friends in Chicago, and I lived in Chicago then, and I had friends say, hey, you know what? You should really try yoga. I bet you would like it. Like, you seem you would like that. And I was in my 20s, and I was too busy running around and partying and smoking cigarettes and drinking, and I was like, I would have told you I didn't want to do that hippie stretching, you know?
Right. No, exactly.
And then fast forward 10 or 12 years, and life changes, and boom, here we are. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I love yoga.
Well, and part of it, I want to say, is probably just bad marketing because your approach of the naked yoga was what appealed to me, not just because of the physical nakedness, because yes, I do that too. Obviously, we're nudist. But it's the, like I said, it's not just being naked physically, it's the being naked emotionally, mentally, and just focus on what you need to focus on, breathing, posing, in your body. And that is what is not adequately sold to people when they're told about yoga.
You're absolutely right. And there is a whole thing about how yoga, since like probably the 1920s, has been marketed to Western society. And that's us. You will find I take an authentic approach, a very Vedic approach. People ask me if I'm a Hindu now, and I will tell them that term is actually offensive to Hindus, and I'm not. But yeah, they'll ask me that because of all my Sanskrit yoga, and I tell them yoga mythology actually shares a lot of the same mythology as Hinduism, and you can go ahead and take from that what you will. But there is a couple of things. You will never hear me say namaste at the end of a class because it's a greeting. So I can say it at the beginning or on your way in the door or something, but I really don't try to incorporate that. And I definitely won't say it at the end. There's a familiar form, which is namaste in Hindi or Sanskrit, any language in India. The formal form is namaskara, and you would use that to address your teacher, your grandparents, and an elder. On that note, to say namaste to somebody as you're walking away from them is really rude and bitchy. So... I don't end my classes with namaste anymore. It's also rooted in colonial. That's that whole Western marketing thing. People are like, you never say namaste. And I'm like, no, you'll hear me, but I choose my moments. Right. And it's never at the end of class. And that's why I'm always ending with something like vote for women's rights.
Right.
Or I'm coming up with that day. But it is. It's, I think the authenticity loses something as it's marketed to Western culture. Like hot yoga, you're not going to see that in many other places in the world, unfortunately. People love it. It's their first introduction. I don't need to heat up the room to make you sweat.
So. It's Arizona. Plus, we are hot yoga daily.
And go out on the front porch and do it on 7th Avenue, and there you go.
Go outside and breathe. There you go. Hot yoga.
Exactly.
Now come in when you're ready to do the actual work.
Beautiful. Oh, but yeah, it, on that note, yes, it's poorly marketed. There's a lot of fillers in there. There's a lot of stuff you end up having to cut through later. And yeah, also namaste doesn't mean the light in me honors the light inside of you and all of that crap. It literally means, or literally actually translated from Sanskrit, means I bow to you. So it's, yeah, I'm big on cutting the crap. Let's just cut the crap here. Don't fluff it up with that
stuff. There's a meme that's going around that I love right now. And they're like, this is what a Chinese character tattooed looks like to a Chinese person. And so there's a picture of a person, and on the back of their neck, it says water.
Yeah. That, exactly.
And I'm like, oh my God, so that's true. Because we just, oh, it's pretty. Yeah, but what are you saying? Do you want it to say water?
And that's exactly it. And more to your point, I am very authentic about all of the yoga, not just naked yoga. And everyone's, what's the difference? And I'm like, what, clothes on, clothes off?
Right.
Clothes on is more expensive. You have to go out and buy expensive Lululemon pants. Naked yoga doesn't require a stitch. So right. There you go.
Just a mat, a strap, and a little block, right? That's all we used.
There you go. Just a mat, strap, and a block. Maybe a blanket to sit on.
Oh, yes.
It's pretty easy.
Awesome. I can't wait to see you again. Not this Saturday, but in 3 or 4 Saturdays.
Yeah.
Actually, no, 2 Saturdays, because we will be back. Because this coming weekend, we'll be out at Palm Springs for the AML Desert Heat. But then we'll be back the following weekend in Phoenix. Then we're back in Palm Springs for a friend's retirement. And then we're in San Francisco after that for Folsom and our anniversary.
Oh, I feel you, man. I know that drive. I've been on it too many times. 3.5 hours one way, 3.5 hours back, and it's pretty much that straight line, I-10.
Oh, yes. But the best part is that we have an electric car that drives itself. So we actually just chill in the car on the way out. It's not a bad drive for us.
Fantastic. I love it.
Especially since it has air conditioning and my house doesn't.
Well, there you go. Beautiful.
All right, Forrest, I love you. Thank you so very much for doing this. Again, I can't thank you enough. I hope we help bring a lot more new students here to you, because you certainly deserve it, and it's just incredible.
Yeah, I hope more people start trying it out. Go ahead, go on there, look for more classes. And Billy, I love you guys so much too. You and Brian, thanks for being such good friends over the years, and thanks for doing this today.
Another reason we love this community.
You are about to embark on a hero's journey. You will do something you never thought you could do. Destiny awaits, and you cannot escape it!
Very funny, Valentina. You can just say take out the trash next time.
Honey, in this house, we're all your friends. What's your name?
I'm Simon.
I'm Mama Moo Moo. This is my place. Every drag performer is unique.
Thank you, thank you. I love you, boys.
The name's Dinah. Dynamolical.
Cry, you miserable queens!
Igor? Showtime.
When you fall in love with you, your star begins to glow. But when you put that love to use, you become a zero.
God. Who are you?
The name's Maxi LaWow.
Maxi LaWow!
Maxi LaWow, Super Shiro, available on iTunes, Apple TV, and wherever you stream your superpower.
Girl, I'm a super queen.
Huzzah! Welcome to All Queer Shakespeare, the world's first all LGBTQIA+ Shakespearean theater company. Tickets are on sale for our latest show. Check us out at allqueershakespeare.com. It's a gay old time.
Pride lives here.
Welcome back, and thank you again for spending part of your week with us here at the Gay PHX Podcast. We hope today's conversation gave you a little strength, a little sparkle, and a little something to carry you on for the rest of the week. Huge thanks to Forrest, the Naked Yogi, for sharing his insight, his humor, and his deep care for this community. Forrest reminds us that healing isn't just medical, it's mental, emotional, and sometimes flexible. And here's your invitation. If you've ever been curious about yoga, especially beginner yoga, naked or not, this is your sign to give it a try. Melrose Yoga offers a welcoming space, no judgment, just movement and breath. In a world that feels increasingly chaotic, there's something radical about slowing down, grounding yourself, and just being. So whether you're a seasoned bottom, a stiff newbie, or just trying to touch your toes again, check out a class. Your body will thank you, your mind will thank you, and trust us, so will your future Friday nights. And to you, our listener, thank you for showing up again this week. Every stream, every share, every moment you spend with us means the world. This isn't a corporate podcast. There's no media machine behind the scenes. This is you and us building community one episode at a time. This podcast exists to give us a rallying point, a space to breathe, to laugh, to learn, and to grow together. And if you believe in that, help us keep it going. Suggest a guest or tell us what you'd love to hear next at gayphx.com. Support us by visiting yadaddy.com or stopping by AZ Ship and Printing to check out our 3D printed creations in person. We've got gifts, gear, custom pieces to show off your pride and personality. Every sale helps us reinvest in the show, support future events, and bring even more queer creativity to life. We're not just asking for support, we're offering it with lasers, stickers, t-shirts, and a whole lot of love. And remember, we don't have a broadcast hour, but we do have you. And together, we're building something real. So please, keep sharing this podcast. Keep spreading the word, because this is your community podcast and your voice belongs here. We'll see you next week.
We're together. The sun is bright and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX Podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.